The reading from God's Word this morning is found in the third chapter of the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, reading verses 12 through 16. Hear now this reading of the Word of God. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk in the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. May God bless this reading of His Word. Sometimes a compliment can sound something like this: what you do or what you say or what you are is a great example to others. And sometimes a criticism can sound like this: that's a terrible example. You're a bad example to others. Paul seeks to be an example in this epistle to the Philippians. In the 12th verse of the first chapter, he says, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things that had happened unto me are fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." The things that happened to Paul, his life, his ministry, his joys, his sorrows, were for the furtherance of the gospel. And part of that work of furtherance was that Paul was to be an example. In a portion of chapter 3 that we did not read, it preceded the verses that we read this morning, we hear these words: "I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." Paul does not seek to tell you how wonderful he is. Indeed, to the contrary, he evidences the problems, the failures, the temptations, the trials that he has had to endure. He does not say, "Look at me because I'm wonderful." He does say, "Look at me as an example of what God can do to people." He talks in these verses about winning Christ. He talks about knowing him, of sharing in his power, of attaining the resurrection, and following after. First thing we can see in these passages from Philippians is that Paul acknowledges that he has not yet reached the goal. He's attained to many things, but he's not finished. Verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, I go forward, I follow after. Paul acknowledges that he has not yet attained that which he seeks. The word there is a simple word in the Greek of the New Testament. It means to take or to receive. I haven't got it all yet, says Paul. I have not yet attained. And secondly, I have not yet been perfected. That means, as we would take it to be, to accomplish, to complete, to reach the end. When you've perfected something, you've completed it. A person working on a woodworking project labors with chisels and knives and saws, and finally, he has perfected that item that he is constructing, and he puts it on the table, and he steps back, and he looks at it, and he's finished. It's accomplished. It's over. It's reached the end. It is now what he intended it to be. What does Paul say? I'm not yet perfect. Not simply in a moral sense, that's true too. But I haven't finished yet. I'm not done because God isn't done with me. I've not yet attained. I've not yet perfected. And then he says, thirdly, I've not yet apprehended. That's maybe not a word that we would use in that way that much, but it means to gain, to grasp, to control, to comprehend. I've not yet apprehended. I don't know everything. Even the things I do know are incomplete. And the things that I've not yet come to know will one day be mine when they are comprehended, they're grasped, they're gained. Paul acknowledges that he has not yet reached the goal. Is that a good example or a bad example? He thinks it's a good thing to know. Paul the Apostle was very knowledgeable about the Old Testament. He was a Jew among the Jews. He was considered a rabbi, a teacher. And yet even he acknowledges that he doesn't know it all. Paul had labored, you can remember elsewhere in 2 Corinthians and other passages, where Paul goes into great length about how he suffered for Christ. But he's not yet perfect. He's called upon to be a witness. That witness is not yet completed or finished. And he doesn't even know Christ as well as he wants in the future, as he will in the future, as he will know him. Paul acknowledges that he has not yet reached the goal. I think it was Socrates who said, I only know that I know nothing. Which in some ways is a non sequitur, but don't bother about that. I only know that I know nothing. Paul says, I'm an example. not by my victories, but even by defeats. I'm an example not by what I have and what I have attained and what I have achieved, but that I am waiting for that day when I will achieve more. Paul describes his life as a Christian. Look at the end of verse 13. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul uses the example of a race more than once in his epistles. I'm at it, I'm running, I'm functioning, I'm struggling. His life as a Christian is not one of, I've done it all, fat, dumb, and happy. I've achieved everything I need to do. I've made it. The story is told somewhere of a divinity student who finished up, got his degree, and the last thing he did on the campus was to take his Greek grammar and throw it out the window because he never wanted to look at Greek grammar again. That sort of defeats the purpose of learning Greek as a minister, but that's not really the point. Paul does not say, I've attained it all, I've got it. He rather says, I struggle toward the mark. I seek the victory in Christ. Above all, you could say of Paul, he says, I press on. I keep at it. Well, Paul, you're very learned. You know all the biblical writings as well as anything in your life. You actually met the risen Christ on the road to Damascus. Paul talks elsewhere in his epistles of that mysterious experience that was his, caught up into the third heaven. He can't even write about it. It's unlawful to speak such things. Paul had all these great attainments. But when he goes on to describe his life as a Christian, he says, I'm working at it. I'm running the race. I'm pressing toward the mark. I'm keeping at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mystery is temperate in all things. No, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away. Paul acknowledges that he's not yet reached his goal. Paul describes his life as a Christian, not really in terms of attaining things, not really in terms of victory, not really in terms of what he's already accomplished, but he describes his life as a Christian in terms of the task that he's engaged in. I keep at it. I press on. I run a race. Paul defines the goal, the mark, the prize, this way. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What I struggle for, what I yearn for, what I await is nothing less than God's calling of me in Christ Jesus. How is it that Paul should say he seeks Christ? Well, Christ is already his, and he would be the first to acknowledge that by his election, by his conversion, by the work of the Spirit. Christ is his and he is Christ. He is mine and I am his. Paul's not talking about waiting for Christ as one struggling to come to be one in faith with the Savior. He knows that all that he does will be perfected in glory. But Paul says that now he seeks Christ all the more. Christ is the focus of his life. Again, back to 1 Corinthians, in this case, chapter 1, 1 Corinthians 1, 26 to 31. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. No flesh should glory in his presence, says Paul. But, what a little and what a significant word is but. But of him, that is of Christ, are ye, who's made unto us salvation and all the rest. How can it be said that Paul should seek Christ? I went once to preach at the Bowery Mission in Lower Manhattan. Many years ago, I was the pastor in New Jersey. And not all was done in the way that I would have chosen to do it, but they probably knew that. But a number of people came forward to the altar call. And in speaking to the director of the mission, he implied that the same people came forward every week. They came forward, they knelt down, and asked God to save them. They were always seeking and never finding. What a tragedy. Paul says he seeks Christ not as one who time and time again seeks Jesus, but one who has found Jesus and therefore lives a life in this life as one seeking, as one running a race, looking for the goal, the prize. I press toward the mark for the prize. I press toward the mark for the prize. What are we to do with those words? How can they affect our life as we reflect upon our Christian testimony and witness, as we reflect upon our walk with the Lord? Well, first, I think we need to be honest about our own limitations. I have used many times the quotation from Winston Churchill about, I believe it was Clement Attlee, another British politician. Clement Attlee was a very humble man, and with good reason. Now, that's funny, but all of us can say that that's true. We ought to be honest with ourselves about our limitations. I press toward the mark. I don't claim that I deserve it already in myself. I press toward the mark. I struggle after. I have my ups and downs. I think it was Lincoln who once said, you can fool all the people some of the time and some of the people all of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. It doesn't stop many politicians from trying. I can fool a lot of people into thinking I'm a godly man. But I can't fool God. I can't even fool myself. I need to be honest, as Paul was honest, about his own limitations. And the second thing we can learn from these passages is that the Christian life is a process. Probably the greatest book ever written about that Christian life as a process is that of John Bunyan. And he calls it Pilgrim's Progress. You know that story. But remember, the conversion of that character, Christian, occurs very early in the book. A modern-day evangelist wouldn't write it that way. But that's what Bunyan did. The burden on his shoulders was removed at the foot of the cross very early on. And what follows, all those struggles, the fight with Apollyon, the martyrdoms of his compatriot in Vanity Fair, the imprisonment in Doubting Castle, all those things follow his conversion. They don't precede it. He's in Christ when he goes through those things. And that's exactly what Paul is talking about. The Christian life is a process. It has its ups and downs. And there are times when I doubt and I fear and I struggle. I was once asked many years ago, actually in this church, by a person who was struggling with some doubts. Do I really know Christ? She said to me, I feel at times as if I didn't know him at all. And I asked her a question. Would Satan want you to say that? She said, well, I guess he wouldn't. He'd want me to say I'm content with the way I am. Life is fine the way I am. I don't need to worry. I don't need to fret. I don't need to ponder my life. I said, well, let me ask you a second question. If you think you really don't know Christ, let me ask you this. Suppose I put before you a choice. Yes to Christ or no to Christ? Which route would you take? Oh, I would never say no to Christ. Is that not what would honor God and not honor the evil one? I don't know if those words helped her or not. I think they did. But we see this here when we think of Paul running the race. How many races do you have to run, Paul? How long does it go on? Bunyan's pilgrim was tired. The struggle was very severe. But was walking with Christ at his side. The Christian life is a process. We acknowledge our limitations. Yes, we acknowledge our failures. But we also need to tell ourselves, and nobody else can tell you this except yourself. Don't be discouraged. You wouldn't have to run if you weren't in a race. If you are in a race, you have to run. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. If Paul can write that to the Christians in Philippi, given the nature of his life and ministry and preaching and testimony, is that not something that we can say? There's joy and wonder and peace and victory in the Lord Jesus, not just in glory, but even now. We know that. We affirm that. But there's also struggle and labor and sweat and running. And knowing that Paul, as our example, endured that, ought to be a great encouragement to all of us. I press toward the mark. Amen. Let us pray. Bless us, our Heavenly Father, that we might do what Paul did, acknowledge our failure and our inadequacy and our weakness, but always look unto Jesus, who is our strength, our hope, our joy, our wonder, that we might run the race today and tomorrow and all that is before us until that day when we enter into thy nearer presence. This we ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen.